The Denver Broncos get out to a 3-0 start after a shutout victory over the New York Jets. But even though that the Broncos are undefeated, there's still some concerns that Sarah and I need to talk about heading into Baltimore week this week. We break down all that action on today's episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode, Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside by co-host Sarah Bettinger. Both of us, we cover the Denver Broncos for the Locked On NFL Network and Nine News. And Sarah, look, another victory Monday here for the Denver Broncos as they improve to a 3-0 record to start the season. A lot of good to take away and a lot of concerns that we also have in this game collectively. But my man, great as always to see you here after a victory.
Great to see you, Cody. Always. I love it. And hey, I got to bring this up because I've been bringing it up. The streak is still alive. Look, since Cody and I joined forces here with the Locked On Broncos podcast, 6-0 record, including the preseason. So the Broncos remain unscathed. We are lossless, without loss, however you want to say it. And the wins keep on trickling in. So I'll take it any day of the week, Cody, especially on Victory Monday. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, so the Broncos improved to 3-0 on the season. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would have told us, if we would have even said that the Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders are sitting tied for first in the AFC West after just 3 weeks of action, and the Kansas City Chiefs are last in the AFC West, I would have said, you know, pinch me or hit me with a bus or a pan or something. But really weird start to the season, I think, in general. And look, Sarah, Sunday's action all across the NFL was wild. So let's talk about the Broncos' victory. Obviously, that's going to be the focal point. But injuries piling up for the team, obviously a major concern. We'll address that later. And then also some concerns ahead of a week four matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. We have to address certain things here. But let's talk about what happened in this game. And coming into this matchup, Sarah, I think for the Broncos defensively, we had talked about it in the build-up this week that the defense, they just have to continue to send pressure after Zach Wilson. They did just that. Five sacks. Von Miller has four on the year. Alexander Johnson had two. Malik Reed had one. And Shelby Harris had one. It was great to see the Broncos get home on a quarterback. They feasted and they made Zach Wilson's life a living nightmare in this matchup. You know, your initial takeaways on the Broncos defense in a 26-0 shutout victory.
Well, very pleased with the defense. Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about the first 3 weeks of the season. It's like you get an interception and you get a sack and you get an interception, you get a sack. Everybody's getting involved. We talk a lot about Teddy Bridgewater on the offensive side, incorporating all the different receivers, spreading the ball around. Well, Vic Fangio, those defense is spreading the love around, Cody. Last week, Kareem Jackson, huge game. This week, Alexander Johnson, Justin Simmons, those two guys really stepped up in a big way. We finally saw Shelby Harris get into the action. Draymond Jones. I mean, I've seen a lot of videos, Cody, of Connor McGovern lifting a lot of weight. And man, Draymond Jones made him look like he hasn't lifted weights in years on one play in this particular game. So yeah, the Broncos defense was absolutely dominant in this game. And of course, rookie mistakes by a quarterback on the other side of the field, Zach Wilson, and then his playmakers letting him down. You know, a number of plays that would have been negatives on the Broncos defense were just simply dropped by the Jets receivers. So I think obviously a lot of good to take away defensively, all phases. You know, when we're talking about pass rush, we're talking about run defense, we're talking about limiting big plays down the field, and we're talking about creating turnovers. Those things are all key. So to see them get after Zach Wilson, sack him a number of times, pick him off a couple of times, those are my key takeaways from this, because it just shows, hey, this Vic Fangio defense is really, it's really been difficult on opposing quarterbacks, and you love to see that.
Yeah, when they're going to have to make things difficult for Lamar Jackson next week, which I imagine that they will. I mean, you look at this matchup, the Broncos defense coming into it, they hold the Jets offense to only 162 yards. A great interception by Justin Simmons returns at 32 yards. Caden Stearns with an interception late to seal the game. I mean, it wasn't even close. There was no like really sealing it. It was just putting a stamp on it. But it was great to see the Broncos defense do what we had imagined. And look, Malik Reed, Reed, I thought, looked really well stepping in for Bradley Chubb this week. He and Von Miller, the pressure was there, and I was very excited about what the Broncos were able to do. Not to mention, they held the Jets, I believe, to 4-11 on it was actually 4-13 on third down conversion. So you love that. The Broncos defense, they held up. Once again, they're building up here. Now they're going to face a really tough test coming up here in week 4. Luckily, it's a home game for the Broncos, and we'll touch on that a little bit later on as the show goes. But let's talk about the offense here. The third down woes for the Broncos offense, they continue to happen, going 4-11 against the Jets defense. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater getting sacked a few times. But the bigger key is the Broncos lose a couple of offensive linemen and a key wide receiver to injury. We'll touch on it a little bit more. But despite the fact that the Broncos, Sarah, they controlled the time of possession again, 35 minutes and 47 seconds of this game. That was impressive. And even though they scored 26 points, for some reason, I'm coming away from this game, I'm not feeling super happy for some reason. I don't know why. It's a weird feeling considering they won a shutout game. Something just feels missing here for the Broncos offense, and a lot of it has to do with third down in the red zone.
Well, I think, Cody, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Broncos got a lot of opportunities, right? I mean, they were forcing a lot of three and outs defensively for the Jets. So the offense was getting the ball, and the Jets punter did a good job of helping them flip field and play the field position game, giving the Broncos a lot of long fields offensively, right? So the Broncos just had so many opportunities on offense. And then I think it was just a lack of aggressiveness to me. I mean, I think I felt like Pat Shurmur was really trying to force feed the running game in this game. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You want to play ball control. You want to play a little bit conservative. I get that. You're going up against a team that, hey, if you're too aggressive against a Robert Saleh coach team, you might be the team that, hey, like, it looks like you played into their trap. Like, this could have been a trap game for the Denver Broncos, right? So looking ahead to the Baltimore Ravens, that didn't seem to be the case to me, Cody. But I do think the Broncos played a little overly conservative offensively in this game. And that's tough to say considering they scored 26 points, right? It is weird, like you said. I mean, it was still a little bit tough sledding. And I think the toughest part for me in this game, it started with the KJ Hamler injury. You know, that point on, I think that there was just kind of a little bit of a sour taste. And so when you get that sour taste, all of a sudden you're beating a team pretty good, and you feel like, we should be beating the Jets by, three scores already. It's, what is this 10-0 garbage? We should be winning 21-0. And it just feels like that, no matter how many points they scored, it felt like they should have had more here. I don't really love seeing Brandon McManus kick 4 field goals in the playoffs. If this was a score of a playoff game, look, who cares about the style points, right? But you want to see the offense execute. You want to see them convert red zone opportunities into touchdowns. You want to see them hit big plays down the field. I want to see a more, efficient attack on third down, like you mentioned, Cody. So I think there's just opportunities in this game that might have been a little bit missed. Some plays where you got to go back to the drawing board, maybe some execution a little bit off. And then, of course, the running game, I think, still needs to be a bit better.
Absolutely. And this is something we'll obviously address here towards the end, the fourth quarter action of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. But before we get to that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the injury impact that the Broncos are currently facing right now and what it projects for in this upcoming week. But before we do that, let me tell you about the two sponsors of today's episode show of Lockdown Broncos, as they're good friends over there at GetUpside and BetOnline.ag. Hey, Broncos country, do you want to save some money when you go to the gas pump? Well, GetUpside allows you to do just that. If you go to the GetUpside app in your Google Play or your App Store, you can download it today. And if you use promo code Touchdown, you can get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up today. GetUpside allows users to save money at the pump every time they go, where on average, each user and even each listener of Lockdown Broncos, they're making up to 25 cents per gallon cash back every time they go to the pump and they fill up. And the really cool thing about GetUpside, like I said, promo code Touchdown will allow you to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. But not to mention, if you drive a lot like me in your day-to-day, some listeners of Lockdown Broncos are making up to $200 to $300 a month alone in just cash back. And the really cool thing is that you can cash out anytime you want by connecting your bank account, PayPal, or you can even choose Amazon or e-gift cards from other brands. GetUpside allows you to do that today, and I want you to check it out. Free and available everywhere in your favorite app stores that you use for your phones. And once again, use promo code Touchdown, and you can get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back today on your first fill-up with the GetUpside app. And our good friends over there, betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. Football season is back and better than ever as we enter week four of the regular season starting this week. 3 weeks of wild football. BetOnline has been the go-to for anybody that wants to put some money on the line today. And with a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag is the number one source for everything pro football this season, not to mention college football for all your betting action. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can get a 100% deposit bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's double your initial deposit today. BetOnline.ag, from football, basketball, boxing, to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline.ag has you covered for the 2021 season. Once again, BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Sarah, continue on with our conversation here. You know, really in a 26-0 victory, there's a lot of things, a lot of reasons why we who cover the team should be happy, a lot of reasons why Broncos fans should be happy. I couldn't help but feel, and I don't like feeling this way because I feel like I'm being negative, and I don't want to come across as overly negative, Broncos country. I don't. But it just felt like watching that game, seeing the Broncos defense play the way that they did, and seeing the injury happen to KJ Hamler, which looked brutal, by the way. We don't know what the extent is. We just know it's a knee injury. He's undergoing an MRI. We'll find out more probably Monday morning here by the time we figure everything out. But not only do you lose KJ Hamler, Graham Glasgow leaves the game in that third quarter after getting rolled up on his knee. And then Dalton Reisner leaves with a foot injury. And Vic Fangio said in his post-game press conference, both of those players are also going to undergo imaging and an MRI. So it's like right now, when you look at this Broncos offense, you're getting ready to play a very, very talented Baltimore Ravens defense that loves to blitz, that loves to send pressure, loves to play a lot of cover zero and man-to-man. And I worry about if you go into that game without Graham Glasgow, if you go into that game without Dalton Reisner, you're going in with Quinn Meinerz and Etani Mutey, who, in my opinion, I think they have promising futures, but I just don't think that they're ready for that moment just yet. Based on what we saw against the Jets, the Broncos struggled to run the ball when those two came in. That could have just been an in-game thing. Of course, they have all week, if that's the case, to work things out. But for me, I'm a little concerned about the injuries. What is the impact here, first off, of KJ Hamler's injury? Then we'll get to the offensive line.
Well, I think it's substantial. You know, you lose Jerry Jeudy for an extended period of time, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, you know, KJ Hamler, step into a bigger role, get a few more targets every week, a few more snaps every week. Then all of a sudden, I mean, we talked about this before too, Cody. It's really tough because you sit there as a fan and analyst and you can say, hey, you're one injury away from needing X, Y, or Z. And I have talked about like Josh Gordon, and I look at guys available, John Brown, you know, the former Cardinals and Ravens player of Buffalo Bills, who once, you know, was a prospect for the Broncos in free agency. Golden Tate, who I believe played for Pat Shurmur recently with the Giants. So, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe he did. So there's options out there. And I think the Broncos have to explore it at this point. They do have guys in their practice squad, like you and I talked about before the show started. So Seth Williams, Tyree Cleveland, a couple of other guys out there. So I don't know. I feel like you're a team now. You're 3-0. The playoffs are the goal. They have to be the goal. 75% of the time, a team that starts 3-0 in the NFL doesn't, not necessarily limited to the Denver Broncos. If you're an NFL team, you start 3-0, history will tell you that 75% of the time you are going to make the postseason. So yeah. With that being said, I think you have to make a bit of a bold move here, Cody. I don't think you can just say, well, we're going to get by with Kendall Hinton and these practice squad players until Jerry Jeudy is healthy in 5 or 6 weeks or however much longer it's going to be. That's just something that I don't like, that risk. So to me, I feel like to replace KJ Hamler, you've got to make an aggressive move to go out and get somebody.
I agree. I think you have to take a look at all options here. And while you mentioned, you know, elevating a guy like Tyree Cleveland, Seth Williams is a good play, but you might be getting a little bit more if you bring in a veteran guy who can contribute in some role, right? Because you do have Cortland Sutton, you do have Tim Patrick, and both players, I tell you what, they were fantastic on Sunday. Even though that, you know, Cortland Sutton didn't have over 100 yards receiving, what he was able to do, and just the rep share between he and Tim Patrick is something to keep an eye on, obviously, for the Broncos. But you need another guy. You need that third element right here, and the Broncos are missing that without KJ, who had a great play on third down early on in the game for a 28-yard conversion on a 3rd-and-11 play. Teddy found him, and he did the rest with his legs. Really just hate to see that injury happen. But let's go to the offensive line here real quick, because then I want to present a little bit of a scenario for you, and maybe Broncos country can help us answer this question. But with the offensive line, how concerned are you if, in fact, Graham Glasgow and Dalton Risner miss any time? Because for me right now, I feel 50-50 on. I'm a little uneasy considering that the options there, they're guys that don't have a lot of experience if, in fact, those guys cannot go.
Definitely uneasy is a good way to put it, Cody. And I think that there's a glimmer of hope, though. This is me being positive. I'm always positive. You know that, Cody, about me. So
amen.
The way that I see this is that, hey, you've got two guys. You've got a third-round pick from this year's draft in Quinn Meinerz, and you've got a guy who could have been a second or third round pick if injuries weren't a concern, and Etani Muti now at the two guard positions. Now they've got to be communicating with the tackles on the outside and Cushenberry at the center. But like you said, they're going to have the week at practice. If in fact, we don't know the extent of Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow's injuries. So at this point in time, we can plan for these two young guys to get some extensive snaps. I think that it's a little exciting. You know, it's an exciting opportunity for these guys because of the expectations on them. Now, I just got done talking about how the Broncos need to go after a veteran wide receiver. I think these two situations are very different. You know, we're not talking about two bums out there or two guys that were signed as street free agents a couple weeks ago, or, you know, two practice squad players coming in there to start. We're talking about two very good prospects. So on the one hand, you don't want to see this kind of injury. You want to see your best five out there and you want to see them consistently play together. On the other hand, I love getting to see young guys get opportunities. I love getting to see them play. I know that we saw some really good stuff from Quinn Meinerz and Etani Muti in the preseason. And of course, you got to take it for what it is, right? It's the preseason. But at the same time, you never know how these guys are going to respond when you increase the expectations. And look, like, these are, again, they're highly rated prospects, very, very athletic guys. And I think that, you know, against the Baltimore Ravens, that's a big time test to start your NFL career, you know, for Miners' case anyway. So I'd be kind of excited to see how they would respond.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that there's a lot of question marks right now. Obviously, this is a fresh post-game report here, Lockdown Broncos, following the Broncos 26-0 shutout victory of the New York Jets. A lot of positive things. Can't wait to get our hands on the film here to go back and look at things defensively, missed opportunities offensively. But really, I want to pose one question here, Sarah, before we get into the fourth quarter action of today's episode of the show. I feel like with how things are at right now, with some of these injuries that the Broncos, they've sustained, and from just the production we've seen from him over the last 3.5-4 years, I think the Broncos should pay Tim Patrick. And I get it. There's people out there that think, like, well, if you pay Tim Patrick, you can't pay Cortland Sutton. Whoever invented that? Like, who said that if you pay one guy, you can't pay the other? Denver has the second most available cap space right now in the National Football League, and it's super easy to manipulate the cap to your favor. Ask Kansas City. So I think that with what Tim Patrick has offered and considering the injuries, I mean, look, Sarah, the Broncos, they have to find a way, I think, to take care of this guy, because since 2017, he's been making this team better and he's been getting better himself. And going back to it, he had 5 catches for 98 yards in this game. And once again, just a big time prospect on third down, a tremendous play with tight coverage. Teddy Bridgewater floating into the bucket there. I like what I've seen from Tim Patrick so far this year. In my opinion, he's earned the right to be paid. Do you agree?
Absolutely, Cody. I brought this up in the offseason as well, and just thinking out loud, you know, if the Broncos aren't going to trade Tim Patrick, your best value for him is going to be extending him. He's been an asset to the team. Who cares about a 2023 or 2024 draft pick that you would get in the middle to late rounds if you let him walk in free agency after all that he's done for the team, right? So to me, he exemplifies, not necessarily to the degree of a Justin Simmons, but he exemplifies a lot of very similar things, right? I mean, he's worked his way, you know, from a practice squad guy and reserve contract guy to now a starter who is very good, a very good player in the league. He was one of the best offensive weapons on the team last year. He's been consistently available now for 2 straight seasons. He's got the capability to be kind of a number one guy. And the Broncos have done a good job of featuring different guys every week in the first 3 weeks. And this week was Tim Patrick's week to eat. So to me, that's a guy that you extend. Who cares? Like you said, Cody, you can manipulate the salary cap. Throw $45 million on a 3-year extension towards Tim Patrick. Let the salary cap increase. Let an owner come in with some deep pockets. You know, we talked about the investment group with Peyton Manning or John Elway that could come in. Those guys, I guarantee you, would want to pay Tim Patrick. Well, maybe not John Elway. We've talked about that before. He doesn't like to always pay his own guys. But But in my opinion, Cody, you're absolutely right. You've got to extend this guy. He's proven his value to the team time and time again. He's consistently gotten better. He's become a favorite target of Teddy Bridgewater. Extend Tim Patrick.
I agree. And Broncos country, let us know in the comment section down below if you agree. But coming up here in just a moment, Sarah and I, we're going to talk about some of the concerns we have going into this week's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. It's time to celebrate the victory here on Victory Monday, but then now look ahead at the opponent and the challenge that the Broncos will face. But before we do that, let me tell you about the two other sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos Postgame Report. That's our good friends of their DirecTV and Built Bar. And with DirecTV Stream, does this sound familiar to you, Broncos country? Do you have multiple devices, have various logins from your friends or family members just so you can get all your movies, your sports, and your TV? Well, there's one way you can get all of that in one place, and that is DirecTV Stream. You don't have to go through the hassle of going through all the cords anymore. You can cut the cord today with DirecTV Stream. Let me tell you a little bit more about them, Broncos country. And with DirecTV Stream, they bring you your live TV, your on-demand favorites, your live sports, and all the stuff that you love all in one place without the hassle. That means no more juggling the remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract with DirecTV Stream. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream today. You can go to DirecTV.com to learn more today. Once again, DirecTV.com to learn more about DirecTV Stream. Compatible device is required and content varies by package. And our good friends over there at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market here today, ladies and gentlemen. Cookie dough chunk, the time to be able to get your hands on that ran out. Luckily, I was able to get some and I have one more cookie dough chunk Built Bar left, and it is the best tasting protein bar on the market, the healthiest as well. Built Bars, they taste legitimately like a candy bar. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they have a multitude of different flavors that you and your family will love. If you don't like raspberry, but you like orange, they have it. You don't like peanut butter, but you like cookies and cream, they have that for you here today. You could try one flavor in a box of 18, or you can get a mixed box with all the flavors so that you and your family could determine which Built Bar you love the most. And did I mention that they're also the healthiest protein bar out there on the market? 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. It's great if you need a little bit of a snack throughout the day, something to pick you up in between workouts, or if you didn't eat breakfast like I constantly do. Built Bar is my everyday go-to. It is the official protein bar of the Lockdown Broncos podcast. And I want you and your family to get your hands on a box of Built Bar today by going to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 at checkout. That's going to get you 15% off your next order. Once again, promo code LOCK15 is going to get you 15% off your next order at Built.com. All right, Sarah, jumping into the fourth quarter action. Today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Really, we talked about the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. Obviously, the Broncos, a lot of positive takeaways. 3-0 start. Look, Broncos country should be excited. And I even posted the question on Twitter, how you feeling about a Broncos country? And there's still people like, well, they beat the Jets. Well, you know what? They don't get to choose who they play. 3-0 is 3-0. And every win matters, right? Just as much as every loss matters. One loss could change the entire trajectory of your season. And that's something we're looking at right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they're off to a surprising start so far in the season. Granted, it's only 3 weeks. But man, this is why we love tuning in every Sunday to football. We love seeing all the action. And obviously, there's a lot of things we'll talk about. But Sarah, going back to third down here for the Broncos on offense, you and I both talked about this before we went on air here. I'm a little concerned. And this is something Tim Jenkins actually brought up last week when we had him on for Tim Jenkins Tuesdays. The Broncos on third and short, they're taking shots downfield. Deep shots, middle shots. Why haven't we seen them go with some of the shorter concepts? It doesn't hurt to do it, but the fact that they're continuing to test deep or even past 10 to 15 yards on third and short, it kind of frustrates me a little bit because these are things you should have converted on against the Jets. Now, granted, the Jets statistically coming to this game, the second-ranked red zone defense and the number one-ranked third-down defense in the NFL. So, I mean, you could take what you want out of that, but it's a small sample size. You want to account for that. But it is concerning because, in my opinion, you can't get away with things like this against a team like Baltimore.
Right. Your room for error going forward is definitely slim. I mean, you don't have the opportunity to go up against a team like Baltimore, Kansas City, Las Vegas, unfortunately, the Cleveland Browns, teams like that. You don't have the opportunity to say, hey, let's just kind of try this shot play on third and four and see what happens. And the next time we get the ball, we'll come back around. I mean, yeah, the Broncos defense has only, in my mind, Cody, only given up really 13 real points in 3 games. And so, and I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to keep that stat going right up in here all season long. But Even though the defense has been that good, your offense has to be able to finish drives with touchdowns. And against the New York Jets, we talked about that. That's our big concern right now. You know, you felt like at 10 to nothing, this game should have been 21-0. You felt like at, yeah, you know, any other number of score, 20-0, it should have been 27. I mean, those different types of things throughout the game just have kind of like compounded to me to provide a little bit of a concern, even dating back to the Jaguars game as well. So against the Giants, incidentally, it feels like they kind of, you know, they did a much better job at executing plays. So, and maybe health has everything to do with that. Who knows? But I just feel like execution's not quite there, especially on third down, like you said. So that's definitely a concern for me. And then, of course, like just in general, the running game is still it's tough sledding, you know. And like you said, the interior line injuries, that could be potentially, you know, what contributed to that. But I think just over the course of three games, right, it just kind of feels like, yeah, it hasn't been there. It hasn't been what they wanted it to be. You know, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon are having to do way too much after initial contact in order to have any sort of decent runs. I want to see some bigger lanes and not with a yellow flag coming over the top of somebody's head as a result. I saw a couple of those today. So definitely a bit of a concern there still going forward is that running game.
Yeah, and you know, look, this was a game too. The Broncos, they could have put up more points. Javonte Williams fumbles the ball, his first career fumble as a Bronco in the NFL on the 4-yard line. Obviously, just brutal timing for him. But you want to get that out of the way now, right? You want to, you know, hopefully it doesn't become a trend, which I would be shocked if that does. But you want to make that mistake now, learn from it, and then this week, you know what he's going to do in practice? Actually, you know what he's probably doing after the game? He probably grabbed the football, and he's just walking around tucking the nose of it. He's probably going to sleep with it tucked in. You know, those things right there, you see a lot of missed opportunities by the Broncos offense against the Jets. You want those back. But now, look, the real test begins this week for Denver, facing the Baltimore Ravens team that you and I were talking about it as well. They themselves are probably a little worried because they had to beat the Detroit Lions, who have been very scrappy, by the way. Dan Campbell's really lived up to that reputation. He's got them competing, but they had to survive off of a Justin Tucker 66-yard record-setting field goal that doinked off the middle bar and bounced in. The Ravens didn't look that great against the Lions. Obviously, a couple of drop touchdown passes by Marquise Hollywood Brown. I'm not worried about the Broncos' defense against the Ravens' offense. I am just a little bit worried and a little bit cautious this week for the Broncos' offense going against that Ravens defense. And then, you know, Sarah, here, the final point, today's episode, Lockdown Broncos post-game report, Denver moves to 3-0 on the season. A little concerned about Noah Fant. It just seemed like he was disinterested in the game. And I don't want to make any assumptions, right? Because I'm sitting on my couch, I'm watching the game from the television, and it just looks like something was off from Noah Fant in this game against the Jets. Obviously, a few penalties. Did that have something to do with it? We know he's been nursing an ankle injury. I saw a different Noah Fant today. I don't think we've seen in quite some time. And, you know, do you feel like we as analysts and Broncos fans as fans, do you feel like there should be a little bit of concern right now about Noah Fant?
I think there's definitely some cause for concern after this particular game. It just didn't look like his head was quite in it, you know? So that's definitely something to monitor going forward. And if he can get out of that funk. And I feel like, as I mentioned, you know, game one, Jerry Jeudy was the featured guy. Game two, it was Cortland Sutton. Game three, it was Tim Patrick. Let's see if game four against the Baltimore Ravens, they really try to feature Noah Fant in that offensive game plan to get him back on track. I feel like that's just kind of the way that Pat Shermer's been going about things thus far, is to really feature one guy in the passing game. You see who they take away. Obviously, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens are going to probably put Marlon Humphrey right on Cortland Sutton. So I think we're going to see that. And I think we're going to see a lot of pretty favorable opportunities for Noah Fant. So it might be a perfect week to get him that bounce back. And that's kind of the way that I would like to approach it. If it was me coaching the team, right? If it was me calling the offense, I would say, look, Noah, you had a bad week this week. Penalties, you know, you didn't look interested in tackling the defender who picked up Javonte's fumble. You know, those types of different things, that's not what we want to see from you. So this week, not that we're rewarding you, but we're going to make sure that you're the guy that's carrying the offensive load this week. So go back out there, keep shooting your shot. That's what Teddy said to Javonte after the fumble, right? Keep shooting out there. Keep doing your thing. Noah Fant has to do the same thing. You can't get in your head and in your feelings about a bad game. You got to come back out and have a big week the next week.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, I'm going to toss the marker up here, my friend. Broncos victory Monday, 3-0 on the season. Obviously, some impressive things to take away. Can't wait to get our hands on the All-22 tape and to go back and look at a couple of things differently. You know, I want to see if maybe watching the offense again, maybe I changed my mind on some things, seeing how certain things played out. You know, like I said, I thought C.J. Mosley was flying around. I felt like he had a couple of cheap shots, couple of dirty plays, helmet to helmet. I didn't like that. Some extracurricular stuff. It is what it is here, but can the Broncos improve this week? Obviously a tough opponent, the Baltimore Ravens, coming to town. Empower Field Mile High, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff this upcoming Sunday. Sarah and I, we're going to have you covered all week long on the latest storylines, on the injury news regarding KJ Hamler. How long will he be out? What's the prognosis? What do the Broncos have to do this week? And we also hear from Kevin Ostreicher, host of the Locked On Ravens podcast, later on in the week for a crossover Thursday episode. Not to mention Tim Jenkins breaks down the offensive game film, and we share it all here this week on the Locked On Broncos podcast, free and available everywhere you get your podcast. Speaking from my good friend Sarah Bettinger, I'm Cody Rourke. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.